Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Justin Curtis of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And you did hear me right. I said Justin Curtis. He's filling in for the Dusty White today. So thanks for joining us, Justin.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm a big fan of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm glad to be here.
That away.
Yeah, yeah. Today we're talking about ways to kill a gospel culture. The last couple weeks we talked about taking up the offenses of others, which led us into a good conversation about gossip. And then last week we talked about cynicism, and that's leading us into our conversation today, which is authority issues.
If you have authority issues, it will kill a gospel culture. And so here's what we want to get into today. We've talked about, like you said, Mike, offenses, gossip, cynicism. Cynicism, one of the ways it plays out is in a mistrust of authority. And that's a challenge for discipleship because, of course, God, what it means to be a disciple is to be submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ, to his lordship, and submitted to his word as my standard. And so any Christian community that's seeking to make disciples ultimately is calling people to submit to God's authority, which ultimately is going to rub up against every authority issue that anyone has anywhere. And so when you see in a community a cynicism toward authority take root, which is always rooted in a cynicism toward God's authority, that can really be a killer of a gospel culture. And so we wanted to start out maybe talking a little bit, Justin, about where do our problems with authority come from in the first place?
Yeah, I think that's a great question to ask and a good starting point is that if this is true about us or if we need to get underneath what are authority issues, it's important for us to understand the source. I think we can very easily go back to original sin. We have sin indwelling in us, and we have this bent away from the law of the Lord that is being redeemed and is being worked out of us. But I think we would also agree that story has a lot of influence on shaping our views of authority.
And culture.
And yeah, culture.
Both. So my particular story of what shaped me in life and then just the environment that I live in, I would say we live in a very anti-authority culture, a very autonomous individualist, you shouldn't have to do anything that isn't personally meaningful and beneficial to you kind of a culture. And so that doesn't help us. What are you thinking of when you say story?
I'm just thinking of knowing that authority issues, per se, if I was to put those in quotes, can be stemmed from just our past. Having to submit to ungodly authority, having to submit to abusive authority, even authority figures who have been absent or neglectful in the past, all has ways of just forming the subtleties of our soul to respond to good and godly authority that God has provided in the here and now. And I think oftentimes because of our upbringing or because of where we've come from, we're not able to receive a real tangible means of God's grace by being loving, supportive, caring community around us and submitting to them.
So we're sitting here as two elders and a deacon talking about authority issues, and people might be thinking, well, that's easy for you to talk about because you have some sense of authority within the local church. I would just want to say it's not any more fun being in authority than it is being under – I mean, it's no picnic on our side of the fence either when it comes to issues of authority because I think for all of us, we can acknowledge a resistance to authority that's present in every person. And so being the person who has to tap that resistance isn't fun, right? If I do have to exert the authority of the office of elder or deacon in some way, that's never a fun thing to have to do. And so this is part of the challenge of cultivating a healthy gospel culture is how do we cultivate people in authority, using that authority graciously and wisely, and people under authority, submitting to authority graciously and wisely in a way that creates a really beautiful picture for the world of what the gospel ought to do in redeeming our relationships of power and of authority. And this is part of where the gospel needs to speak to our culture because of, as you said, Justin, so many people coming out of situations where an authority figure has abused me or has abused their power or has taken advantage of me in ways that are hurtful and detrimental to my good. And so we sort of come hardwired from sin and from our story with a sense of resistance and a sense of bristling at any kind of authority, even if there's some basic level of trust that these are decent authorities, I'm still kind of waiting for the day when they're going to hit the nuclear button and blow things up.
So convince me of this. You said authority issues kill gospel culture. off of what you've just said and what I understand of the Bible, I can see how authority issues can kill relationships between authority figures and those who should submit to them. But you seem to be driving at a deeper reality that gospel culture can be really harmfully affected by people who have authority issues and people who are unwilling to submit. Can you explain that? Convince me of that.
I'll try. The trademark of a gospel culture is a deep mutual submission. We see this in Ephesians 5. We're familiar with the end of Ephesians 5 where it talks about husbands and wives and the relationship there. But in Ephesians 5:21, before it gets to that part, it says submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it's talking specifically about the body of Christ, where we're to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another and you know, praying for one another. And so this mutual submission is a hallmark and a characteristic of a gospel community. So a gospel community is a community that is submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is, because of my submission to Christ as Lord, I'm submitted to people in my community mutually. There's a relationship that goes both directions of this mutual submission and humility, and that is a picture of gospel culture. So when you have anyone within that culture who would call themselves a Christian and who is dismissive of authority, skeptical of authority, brittle toward authority, unwilling to open themselves up and their lives up to others, it creates, number one, it creates an unhealthy aspect of that culture. And I think that really begins to affect the culture as a whole, because if there's people who really want to create that kind of a community and there's a few people who are really resistant to that, you just can't help but that being a roadblock, right? I mean, the nature of authority is I can't demand submission from you. You have to sort of be willing to submit. You know, that's why you see all these commands in Scripture towards submission, because really any authority relationship comes down to the person under authority has to be the one willing to submit. Otherwise, all you have is a power relationship. You have someone who perhaps can manipulate authority or, you know, call your bluff, kick you out, fire you, discipline you in some way, but that's not a true relationship of healthy authority. Healthy authority always involves an authority figure who wants to lead with grace and truth and love, and people under authority who are willingly submitted to that authority. And so because that's what the gospel calls us to, right? When the Holy Spirit gives us a new heart, one of the fruits of that new heart is a submission to God and a submission to His Word. And so for any Christian who's truly been converted, the idea that I'm submitted to Christ as Lord is not rocket science. It's just, yes, that's the disposition of my heart, is one of submission. But I can see how that's a new thing. I can also know that's a new thing for me. I wasn't always that way. I can look back pre-conversion and say, man, I was rebellious against God's authority. There wasn't anything in me that wanted to, you know, submit to the Word of God. But that changes when I'm converted. And so in that same way, there's sort of this switch that needs to flip in my willingness to cultivate a submissive heart toward the means of God's authority, which is Scripture, community, the local church, all these figures and people in my life who are various means of God shepherding me, guiding me, growing me up in Christ.
It's interesting how very insightfully said a key word there, cultivating a submissive spirit, which leads me to believe that, man, I'm not just going to repent of autonomy and individualism and authority issues, and all of a sudden God's just going to give me a submissive spirit. But what you're saying is I actually need to cultivate it. I need to pursue it. I need to be intentional about becoming a submissive, humble type of disciple.
I don't think this comes naturally to any of us.
Yeah, yeah. So the cultivation of that virtue of submission, how would you encourage people who are in the midst of gospel community to cultivate that with one another?
I think here's the first conversation we need to have. Any issues I have with authority are ultimately issues with God. This is something where it's sometimes hard to convince people of this. They want to blame their issues with authority on, you're a bad authority, or I was in a church that, you know, hurt me, or my dad wasn't a good dad. Like, they sort of want to push it outward to some other circumstance. Any issue you have with authority is ultimately an issue with God, because God is the highest authority in the universe. And so I first of all need to do the vertical work of sorting out with the Lord, where am I rebellious against your authority in some way? Once I do that work, once I see my fundamental disposition toward God and dealing with what it means to submit to God and His authority and His rule in my life, I generally find it pretty simple, pretty easy to cultivate a spirit of welcoming authority from other people and their freedom to speak into my life, because that's always a function of how I see God's authority. So if I really believe what Scripture says, that you guys are part of my community and part of how God exercises His authority in my life is through Christian friends and brothers and sisters in Christ and them ministering the word to me, then if I have a right disposition toward God's authority, I'm going to welcome anything you guys have to say. If I have a wrong disposition toward God's authority, I'm going to be resistant, rebellious, skeptical, right? The ways I would respond to any rebuke, critique, helpful coming alongside from any people around me would ultimately be reflective of my disposition toward God.
Would I be accurate in saying that you could get it down as precise as saying it's trust issues with God? Thinking of Pastor Steve Timmons, I heard him one time saying, he was on this podcast months ago, but he said, you know, kind of the fundamental way that we can understand the Bible is that it's simply God saying over and over again, trust me. And it seems like authority issues then would be rooted out of my inability to trust God, who has put authority in place, who's put community around me. My inability to trust those people, it mirrors the reality that I'm having a hard time trusting God.
Well, absolutely. And so Jesus is our example. And look at Jesus's life. You see him always trusting the Father. And especially in his crucifixion, his arrest, his trial, you see him submitting to all kinds of ungodly authority who are miscarrying justice. They're committing a universal injustice, condemning an innocent man and sentencing him to death. And yet you see Jesus willingly submitted to all of those authorities. Why? Because they're doing their job well? No, they're doing the job poorly. Because they're worthy of submission? No, they're actually worthy of rebellion in this case, right? They're doing something that's morally, categorically wrong. And yet, because Jesus is submitted to and trusting his Father, he humbles himself underneath those authorities. And as Isaiah 53 says, he's led like a lamb to the slaughter willingly. And so it would seem to answer your question, yes, that the more I trust the Father's authority, the more comfortable I am, even with imperfect, sinful human authority. Again, not to the level of making myself a doormat. I think it's hard for us when we look at Christ, because we recognize he's fulfilling God's plan for redemption in the world. I don't have as much clarity in my own life about, like, well, should I keep this job, or is it okay for me to quit this job because my boss is really a jerk to me, and do I need to keep working here? You know, the answer to that could be yes or no. You know, so the categories sometimes aren't as clean for us. But what I'm saying is, out of our trust in the Lord, we ought to find it relatively easy to submit. And yes, any issues with authority that I have are usually ultimately issues of trust toward God in general.
It sounds like when we're talking about authority and submission, we're truly dying to ourselves. So there's this cost that comes with submitting to someone over us. And that feels like death sometimes.
Yeah.
It feels like we're losing something.
Yeah. And so it's interesting that you say that, because if you think about it, much of our pursuit of community in our culture can ultimately be self-serving. It's not death to self, it's preference to self, right? Community's good for me. I need some friends. I need a people I can belong to. I want to benefit in some way from this community. That's a whole different motivation for entering into community than, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ and he's called me to die to myself and love his people, I'm going to die to myself and actively cultivate love for his people, which includes, you know, submission to authority, honoring those around me, welcoming them into my life, creating a relationship of brother, sister kind of affection. So it's different to pursue community out of death to self, mm-hmm. than to pursue community out of self-love.
Sure.
Yeah, and death to self in the aspect of death to the flesh. You know, Jesus came so that he could give us life. I think the beauty of this is we're saying authority issues kill gospel culture. Healthy submission played out creates gospel culture. Sure. What would be more life-giving than a rich, deep gospel culture? I mean, we could probably sit here and just meditate on the different aspects of what a gospel culture would look like where there's healthy submission to one another out of reverence for the Lord.
Let's talk about that for a few seconds. Like, what does that look like?
I think, first of all, it looks like everyone or most – I'm assuming that in any healthy gospel community, there's a few people on the fringes. There's a few non-Christians or maybe some brand-new Christians or some people who are still kind of coming to faith in Christ. Okay, so – but by and large, in any gospel community, the majority of people are submitted to the Lord and to His Word. So the first thing to me is just there's a sense of reverence for Christ, to use the last phrase in Ephesians 5:21. There's a sense of, man, we want to be all about Jesus. We want to be under His authority. We want to be obedient to Him. We want to pursue holiness. We want to be submitted to Him. We want to live lives that are pleasing to Him. And it's funny to me, I was just reading in 2 Corinthians the other day where Paul talks about we have it as our desire to always be pleasing to the Lord. And I thought about, you know, in gospel-centered sort of circles, we don't talk about that much because we put so much emphasis on God. Jesus has been pleasing to the Father for you. You know, you're justified on His obedience, and so the Father is pleased with you, and that's true.
Yeah.
But there's this sense for Paul that he's driven out of, man, I want to please the Lord. I want my life to be pleasing to God. And so I think in a gospel community, that's so present, that sense of I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord, that there. It just creates this radical openness, right? That, man, any place where it's not, you're free to tell me, and any place where your life isn't, I'm free to tell you, and let's go after this together. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of a radical openness to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the way that you started that off with a reverence for the Lord that's going to drive me to His Word, and it's going to drive me to a greater understanding of God. I think we can all realize that left to ourselves, we're going to make a mess of things. So submitting to one another apart from submitting to God is pointless.
Disaster.
And if not damaging. Like Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to man that leads to death. So I would even mark a healthy gospel culture that's marked by submission has got a passionate desire to want to know the Word of God, to want to know Him.
And I would say a healthy gospel culture has a right reverence for authority, meaning I know that the authorities in that culture, whether they be elders of a church or leaders of a gospel community or parents in a family, right, whatever the authority figure is, I recognize they're flawed and faulty human beings. I'm not holding them to some standard that they're Jesus. I'm recognizing, you know what, they're probably going to screw up. They're probably not going to do everything right. They like me, are trusting in a Lord and trying to walk with Him and grow up in sanctification. So I have a reasonable sense of what submission looks like, that it doesn't look like unquestioning obedience. It doesn't look like blind affirmation of anything they say, but it also doesn't look like skepticism, disdain, distrust. I got one foot out until you win me fully over. You know, there's a sense of cultivating just a healthy disposition that says, I trust ultimately in the Lord. And I'm devoted ultimately to Christ. And because of that, I find it easy to submit to flawed human authorities who love that same Lord and who want to please Him and who are walking with me in that journey.
Yeah, it's putting to death the cynicism, the pride, the lack of trust. It's any sort of gospel culture is always going to be wanting to grow, wanting to expand. And any sort of community that's growing needs more leaders. So I think a healthy gospel culture that's really embracing submission is realizing, man, I want to submit to emerging leaders and growing leaders in a way that's going to help them continue to grow and not stifle their growth. So we've all been in a gospel community where we've had the guy lead the discussion for the first time, right?
Ouch.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah. You could easily go in there and judge and critique and try to hijack the conversation and take it somewhere, or out of submission and wanting to see the guy grow and even maybe fail, but fail at trying, man, we could just embrace, man, I want to submit to him. I want to let him ask questions. I want to do my best to try to answer these questions and help this thing along. Rather than saying, no, I'd do this a different way and backing off and peeling out, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe some of the best things that we could do then is to pray for those people, pray for those leaders, and ask to serve them in any way or serve the broader community in any way to help fight that desire to maybe resist that authority.
Yeah, let's take that forward. We just asked the question, what does repentance and faith look like in the area of authority? You know, if I have authority issues, if I have a skepticism or a disdain for authority, what does repentance and faith look like? You mentioned one great step just being praying for leaders, right? In fact, you see that in Scripture. Paul says, I encourage men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer and pray for leaders and those in authority over you that you might live peaceful lives. And so there's this sense that even when the authorities around us are flawed and not the greatest, praying for them is a way of cultivating a healthy spirit, a healthy disposition of humility toward them. That's one great step of repentance and faith. What else comes to mind?
I think a healthy way to pursue the virtue of submission or to cultivate it is to just try to live openly and transparently with other people and the things that are going on in your life. I know a lot of people tend to it's a way of self-protecting, but because they don't want to submit to whatever authority might try to step in, they'll just not talk about things or they'll hide things. And that's detrimental on a number of levels to gospel culture. Just even thinking as a pastor, members of our church who because they're just unsure about the counsel they're going to receive, tend to hide things. It also enables there to be any chance to help or to serve them. And I think that can be broken down even into the area of gospel community. I think cultivating a virtue is going to mean I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to let people know what's going on in my life. And I'm going to invite feedback and counsel.
Another category of repentance and faith would be actually cultivating healthy conversations about authority and submission within any gospel community. So I'm assuming within any community, the people in authority aren't going to be great all the time, and the people submitting are going to have wise and valid critiques, thoughts, feedback. And on the other side, the people under authority aren't always going to be great. Sometimes they're going to be resistant and rebellious, and there's going to be need for conversation both ways. And so I think, a healthy gospel culture is a place where we can talk these things out and say, hey, Justin, I feel like you're kind of, you know, the way you are leading or the way you see, you know, it seems this way or that way to me. Can we talk about that? Or, hey, man, I have issues with your leadership. I don't know why. I think it's from my dad, but I just somehow when you lead, it reminds me of my dad. And so there's this thing in my soul that kind of, you know, gets rigid. And can we talk through that? I mean, just cultivating those conversations about the nature of authority and submission, the nature of any kind of authority relationship, even if it's just a leader within a gospel community, creating a space where it's okay to process those things and where it's not you either submit with a good heart or you're evil, you know. But again, thinking like a family with my kids as they grow up, right? I want to create space where it's like, man, if I'm leading them in an unhelpful way, or if they just are if they have an honest difficulty in submitting, I want them to be free to say that instead of just feeling like, well, it's a lose-lose. I either obey with a bad attitude or I disobey and get in trouble. And so, you know, those are my two options. No, there's a third option, which is let's talk this out together.
Yeah, we got to fight against the idea that submission means just shut up and be quiet.
Yeah.
Right. But embrace the freedom that the gospel gives us to be able to have conversations and for those not to be make or break. This might end the relationship, but just to say, hey, I'm sensing this in your leadership. Can we talk about it? How many times do we do that throughout the year for one another as elders?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a constant conversation that we're having because we're trying to help each other grow.
So for people listening who just... everyone, like we said last week, everybody has some level of cynicism in their hearts. I think this week we could say everybody has some level of resistance to authority in their hearts. It just goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. So for people listening who just see this and are like, all right, what do I do next? You know, how do I put this to death and cultivate some sort of healthy respect for authority? You know, what parting thoughts can we give? You already mentioned just some categories of what repentance and faith would look like. Any final thoughts for someone who's just saying, all right, yep, I see that. I want to cultivate a more humble spirit, a more humble posture toward those around me, toward authority figures in my life, especially in the church. How do I do that?
I think the one way we see Jesus humble himself is the way he served those around him, the way he served his Father.
Yeah, I think looking to Jesus, looking to the life of Jesus, and even the last hours of Jesus as he was going to his death, you know, starting at the Garden of Gethsemane and walking to the cross of Calvary and watching. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, but just step by step, what did it look like for Jesus to submit to an authority, and that being God's authority ultimately, and to have our hearts even awakened to that reality, realizing that that's what we've been redeemed for. Right, is to live the pattern of the cross, to live out what's it mean to be servant-hearted, to be sacrificial, humble, submissive disciples.
I think a final thought is just the reality of spiritual discipline here, because I think for some people, because they see some skepticism in their own heart, there's sort of this, well, unless my heart's in it, it feels phony for me to do it. And so I don't want to pretend that I like Mike's leadership when I really don't. And so, you know, I sort of want to stay one foot in, one foot out and wait for that to change. I think actually that what the gospel calls us to do is obey. And trust that in obedience, when we obey with a heart of devotion to the Lord, it's in the obedience that we are changed. It's in the midst of the discipline of obeying that we are transformed and that we begin to see those things change. And it's the same thing I say to my kids, right? When they're feeling rebellious, I say, well, you still have to obey. And it's in the obeying that God's going to change you and form you and help to grow you up. And so I just, you know, for me, as I study scripture and just see all these commands about submitting to one another and, you know, Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Romans 13, obey the governing authorities. I think there seems to be a clear emphasis in the scriptures on the governing authorities aren't always going to be great. Your leaders aren't always going to be great. That doesn't absolve you of your responsibility to submit to them. And so there's a discipline to be cultivated here that I think then results in growth and a change of heart and a change of disposition over time.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We invite you to join the conversation or suggest conversation topics by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.